listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
This is your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Before we get going with our programming, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kbu.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Again, that's kbu.fm/give. Or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thank you.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Never been done before. Never been done
in this country. In this country.
Everybody dead on arrival, last breath seen it out his body. His kid's mama made a speech, made me weak. His son broke down crying live on TV. Later on that day, see the man get shot at a traffic stop. White America, when will this madness stop? Same situation, black victim, white cop. Same scenario, 6 months later, case drop. I think it's all a part of plan to start a civil war. Then implement martial law, they knocking down our door. In the ghetto, mainly cause we poke. What make it worse is, man, it happened, man, before we grow. They say that all cops ain't bad, well, I can't tell. Cause every time I turn around, they killing black men. It's a war outside, nobody's safe from. Try to play with our minds, but we ain't dumb. It's a war outside, nobody's safe from. Try to play with our minds, but we ain't dumb. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, death and jail the only thing they offer us. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, can't breathe, take these damn cuffs off us.
A gorilla get killed, these white folks sad. A black man get killed, ain't nobody mad. Choked Eric Garner out, he was selling seeds. Broke Freddie Gray back, yep, they sure did. Don't know what happened to Sandra, but man, it wasn't cool. Try to say suicide, I think we damn fools. Shot Oscar in the back, he was handcuffed. Didn't even give to me a time to put his hands up. And Jesse Williams told y'all, so what you having bands? You still a nigga, even in the latest name brands. You pick cotton for the master as a chain man. Now you pick cotton for fashion, it's the same, man. So all you white folks that still say we all equal, I bet you wouldn't trade pigmentation with my people. Everybody wanna be a nigga till you gotta be a nigga. Until your son is the one dead from a trigger.
It's a war outside, nobody's safe from. Try to play with our minds, but we ain't dumb. It's a war outside, nobody's safe from. Try to play with our minds, but we ain't dumb. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, death and jail the only thing they offer us. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, can't breathe, take these damn cuffs off us.
Nothing new, blacks been getting hung. Just with no iPhones recording, with no Samsungs. Been castrating black men, cause our dick's bigger. Coward. White boy still scared of niggas. Want us to chalk it up, want us to keep quiet. Laugh cause it's all we burn when we ride. Let's start hitting they communities and let's see what happens. Set fire to they brand new Benzes, Ferraris and mansions. I bet the National Guard be on the scene quick. Filthy white boys in badges, so we call them pigs. What got me hot is ain't no black cops speaking out. Could've been your son, could've been your daughter out there bleeding out. Tell me what good is having arms if you ain't reaching out. Tell me what good is having a tongue if you ain't speaking out. You see it's power in the people they don't speak about. You see the power of the people's what I speak about. It's a war outside, nobody's safe from. Try to play with our minds, but we ain't dumb. It's a war outside, nobody's safe from. Try to play with our minds, but we ain't dumb. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, death and jail the only thing they offer us. Mr. Officer, Mr. Officer, can't breathe, take these damn cuffs off us.
I wear that blue uniform proud. Stood in front of a judge and stood in front of a mayor and said,
David D. Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you and joining us all the way from Newark, New Jersey, but he's really a West Coast.
Yes,
Jordan Downs, South yeah. Central LA, Watts.
Right, it is right.
Akila Sherrell, and wanted to talk to you, you know, have you back on the show. Obviously, the work that you all have been doing out there in terms of police reform is something that everybody's been taking a look at. The recent documentary with Jelani Cobb even highlights that even more. But I wanted to have you on because you were talking the other day about the cost of the police and how they've adapted to tactics and we have to adapt accordingly.
Right.
One of the things that you laid out pretty compellingly was like, look, here's how much they make when we have protests. When we're out in the streets, you know, it's cash cow, overtime, et cetera, et cetera. And we may have to reevaluate that. But break this down for us, because I think it's something that we need to think about, because you said it almost counters whatever defunding you have because they got the money back because we protested for them to be defunded. Can you explain this to us?
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, protest absolutely has its place. I think that protest is a critical part of the overall strategy. But we've somehow made protest into our entire strategy. And as a direct result, it's not so much now about bringing attention, it's just about standing out and being out there. And so now, you know, the folks who don't want to see us win and succeed, as you said, they've studied and learned from that tactic. And they've countered it by sending out agent provocateurs who turn our protests into violent, you know, events. And as a result, they become cash cows for law enforcement. I'll just share just some of the numbers, right? In terms of the amount of overtime money that's being paid to the police department to make our community safe. And this is the very thing that we're actually talking about, right? Talking about redefining public safety and reforming police. But we're investing so much money into their infrastructure, then we're wondering why we can't defeat them, you know, the law enforcement lobby, right? So just in LA, you know, from May, you know, 30th to September, LAPD paid over $40 million in overtime. You know what I'm saying? This is June, July, August, September. Okay, that's LA. New York, $115 million in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, $115 million in overtime, right? Louisville, you know, let's talk about, you know, where our sister was murdered, right? In 2 weeks, you know, from May 30th to June 13th, you know, they spent $3 million in overtime. So while we're out protesting and everything, the city council actually gets together at night, and it probably doesn't happen like this specifically, and then they move millions of dollars, you know, into from the general fund. This is our money, you know. Even in the case of Breonna Taylor, unprecedented settlement of $12 million. But you know who paying that? We are, the taxpayer. Right. Not the police, not the police department. It's coming out of our monies, and it's impacting us. And this is on top of the settlements for, you know, for excessive force of misconduct that these cities are paying out. Over the past 10 years in Chicago alone, over $700 million in excessive force and misconduct payouts. This is coming out of taxpayers' pockets.
$700
million. $700 million.
I want people to sit there and think about that. What I thought was jarring when you started laying out these numbers, Akila, was the fact that all that money is then reinvested by the police in lobbying efforts to defeat the things that we're fighting for. So they get a war chest. They're like, they're going to protest. We're now going to get a war chest, reinvest it back into this lobbying effort. And then we're wondering why we couldn't get SB 731 passed, or why they were able to successfully defeat the commission that you all have in Newark. You know, those lobbying efforts went all the way to,
That's right. Qualified immunity. You know what I'm saying? All of these different things that we know are strategic in terms of being able to reform law enforcement, we're giving them a war chest to basically defeat us. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, you guys, we have to shift the strategy. It's not just, I mean, protest is about bringing the attention. And it could happen at different, times in terms of the strategy. But when do we organize our dollars? When do we target our opponent and then execute with precision? You know, I'm like, we can't keep protesting and then that's the end of it. Because we already know that protest doesn't, onto itself, doesn't change anything. I mean, we look at the March on Washington, with Martin Luther King. Yes, it was about bringing attention. They passed civil rights legislation. Then in the 90s, they repealed all of it. You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? Community-based organizations, folks who are on the ground doing this particular work, we don't have money to do phone banking. We don't have money to do, walks in the community, to purchase door hangers, to invest in, in politicians. So law enforcement, they're buying our politicians, hand over fist. And right. And we're out here protesting instead of organizing our capital and figuring out how to redo our strategy.
There are a lot of people that are listening to this and they're saying, look, we'll take Oscar Grant, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to use that as an example. I was there when 100 elected officials, I got pictures, you could see it online. They're standing right there in front of the courthouse, right? Everybody, Nation of Islam, Black Church, elected officials, everybody demanding, right? That at that time, Tom Orloff, who was the district attorney, charged Oscar Grant. He said no. In fact, he wouldn't meet with 100 black officials. Wow. The only reason why he met was because one of them, Keith Carson, the supervisor, had a scheduled meeting ahead of time. Way, had nothing to do with Oscar Grant, but he had a meeting. Right. And so then he said, well, we'll bring two of them in. And then he said, no. And all of us went into this room. Right? It's all online. Yes. He sat there and looked 100 people in the face, said, I'm not charging them. We're talking about city council people, everything, right? That night, people tore this city up. Yeah. Ron Dellums, the mayor, was out here, got him on tape crying. He was crying right over there by Laney College, right? Tears in his eyes, right? People booing him, asking, what the hell is going on, right? And the point that I'm making is that people ignore the petitioning and all the stuff. People been quiet and nice. Remember, with 7 days, people, when they tore it up, everybody listened. And I think the attitude and the understanding is a lot of things ain't gonna happen. 92, y'all were part of that. This is your era, the gang truce and all that. Ain't nobody listening until LA went the hell up, right? Then they wanted to bring you all into the room and sit down and say, let's have a conversation. So I think that's the precedent that we have set. And if we are sitting here right now with politicians who are ignoring some basic things, how can people not go to the streets? Yes. I mean, it just seems like it's a catch-22. You have no choice but to be in the streets, no?
Right. Yeah, no, I think that people should absolutely be in the streets, right? However, this was that's why I made my post. I was like, hey, show up. Protest peacefully and go home. I'm like, leave the agent provocateurs, and those who want to destroy the city out there so that they can be arrested, so that we can then go home and talk about strategy, because we got to present the complementary strategy or solution. Look, Newark, has been a model, right, in the country in terms of peaceful protest. I mean, when we had our first big protest around, the public execution of George Floyd, the mayor led the march. We didn't have not one arrest in the city.
Right. From the police. But now we the question. But the question would come: what changed in terms of the policies?
So here's the policy that changed. A month later, the mayor put forth an ordinance to move 5% of the police department's budget. NPD has a $230 million budget. Move 5% of the budget into a new Department of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery. So that was a major piece. And so this is what we were actually sharing with the protesters. The mayor, 6 years ago, started building infrastructure. you know, developed the Safer Newark Council to coordinate the city's public safety strategy that included community-based organizations at the table, and got all of his big foundations in the city to fund them, you know? And then so this, the moving of the 5% is just a part of a continuum of the long-term strategy. And so now that monies have been moved, this is $11.4 million. This is not a whole lot of money, right? Into this new Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery. It's headed up by a community person who's from the neighborhood. And the mayor's commitment is that 65 to 75% of these dollars are gonna be reallocated into the community, you know, in the form of RFPs to help build out further infrastructure so that, listen, we can take pressure off our cops to have to be the cop, the coach, you know, the therapist, the teacher, you know. And so now we have infrastructure in community to be able to better provide services for residents, because we know that police cannot do that.
Right.
And so this is the strategy. And we have to start looking at more complementary alternative strategies to policing. When we talk about defund, we got to have the alternative right there, you know, interface with evidence, you know, with practice based,
right,
with anecdotes that shows that, hey, here is the alternative system that actually works. And when you do that, it's like even your law enforcement support it.
Right. That's the voice of Akilah Sherrell. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to him about alternatives to the protests, being out in the streets, and how cops have been able to use those protests to amass a war chest that they then use as lobbyists to counter moves and strategies. The question still remains, Akilah, how do we get some basic laws in the books? So here we are in California.
Yep.
SB 731. Shirley Weber puts it up, right? So Shirley Weber's been real good on all this stuff.
Right.
She puts it up. Mm-hmm. But it's the Speaker of the House, Anthony Renton, who kills the bill, right? Prior to that, it was the when they tried to put a significant dent in the Policeman's Bill of Rights, it was the Latino cat from Belmont. Not Belmont, but Bell Gardens, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Right? So he's the one who stopped it. So we're looking at situations where it's like, okay, people have, they went the political route, and mm-hmm. at every turn, they're stopping. It took 10 years to yeah. get defunding or to get cops out of the schools, right? Black mm-hmm. Organizing Project, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
People are no longer in the schools, right?
What?
So it just seems like that for many people, that is such a dead end. To do this political thing when you have folks that are so entrenched or so much in the pocket of these police unions and others that you can have tens of thousands of people in the street as we did, and yeah. they still would turn down the most basic bills.
That's right.
Of accountability. So
see,
what's the alternative to that?
Here's the alternative. You know what they fear? You know what the politicians fear?
What's
investment.
That?
They fear money. They fear the correction officers lobby, the law enforcement lobby is the most powerful in every state across the country, exactly for the reasons that we're talking about. Because all of these, you know, the Speaker of the House, any elected politician is definitely afraid of the law enforcement lobby because they will finance their opponent and take them out. And so we have to think the same thing. If we're putting 10,000 people in the streets, then we need to be taking a dollar or two from every organizer and activist that's on the block so that we can pool our capital. We got to get some skin in the game, you know? And we go to those politicians that represent our interests and our ideas and our perspective, and we put money behind them. That's how you change it. Because the thing is this, a campaign has to be financed. People don't just get elected in this country. You know, we're trying to, you know, reform campaign finance laws and stuff, but until they do, money elects people.
Well, and so, but the question becomes then, what is the money being used for? Is it being used for radio and TV ads? But in theory, if mm-hmm. I'm 10,000 people out in the streets, we don't need TV and radio ads. I've got 10,000 people out in the street. The question is, can I walk them into a political arena and we get results? So does that mean that I'm running somebody? Are we running you for office? Or are we taking money and we're going, look, we know that the police union gave you $10, we'll give you $15 to vote the other way, which seems to be kind of, seems to be kind of a messed up thing in first place, because why are you taking money to do what the people want. You should be able to look out as a politician and say, the majority of people want to go in direction A, not B. Somebody pays you to go in B, and you go there, and then we got to come back and raise money for somebody who essentially is corrupt if they're taking my money.
Well, this is...
You say that's the game.
Absolutely. This is the American political system. You know, money in the capitalist system, money drives everything. It derives, you know, it drives everything. And so basically what we have to do is, see, that money is going to pay for phone banking. It's going to pay for door knocking. It's going to pay for ads on TV and radio ads in order to get that person out there. That is essentially, unfortunately, the game. And so if we don't learn how to play the game, then we will consistently make the same mistakes that we've made forever, calling it strategy. But, you know, what we call it is insanity. When you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, you know? And so we keep getting the same result. You know, they defeat us because they outspend us, you know, and they out-organize us in a sense because they have the capital to put on the ground, to put in those key systems in order to win. And so we have to start thinking strategically in that way. We gotta think to win.
With you being in Newark with a friendly mayor, progressive mayor, and having some of the infrastructure that you have, are you able to see a path to having these police pay for the settlements? $700 million in 10 years in Chicago. That should be coming out of the policemen's union.
Absolutely.
$74 million here in Oakland. That shouldn't be coming out of the money that we're now balancing to keep schools open. That should be coming out of the police. They're the ones that caused the crime. Or you all got to get insured, right? So
right.
Do you foresee any of these laws being able to be changed? You know, on your watch, where you're at, do you see moving in a path where some of that financial burden gets shifted from taxpayers to the police?
Yes. So here's the thing. And I think that the fastest way and the best way to reduce excessive force and misconduct issues is to invest in community-based alternatives, right? There are studies after study, you know, CYO, you know, the National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform, you know, with David Muhammad, they have, in Oakland, has track record of showing how they have decreased violent crime and murder in the city. You know, LA funds the Gang Reduction Youth Development Program. 23 organizations across the city, 10 years of evidence-based results that shows that community-based intervention has reduced violence and crime without law enforcement to the tune of $100 million, you know, a year. You know, in Newark, New Jersey, we're currently putting together a report now. In the state of New Jersey, one murder costs $8.2 million to investigate, right? And so our whole thing now is putting together a comprehensive study for the state, for the attorney general, and for the governor's office to say, hey, listen, if we're able to reduce homicides in our city, as we've done for four consecutive years in a row now, you know, that we could save the state. Say, if there was like last year, we had 51 murders. Say, we cut that murder rate, say, by 20%. You know, right. We want that $8.2 million, you know, times, you know, 20% to be allocated to us. And if we cut it even bigger, we want a bigger piece of that money. You know, and now all of this money is going to go into building community-based infrastructure in the community. I think that we shrink the police department by building community-based infrastructure, you know, so that law enforcement is a targeted deterrent strategy that's focused on 1% of individuals who are committing most of the violence and crime in our respective communities. And so that's the overall strategy. Can it be done? It's being done. You know,
okay.
Well, we need to have a larger investment. And so this is why I think it's so important that that the piece that Jelani Cobb did, which I thought was exceptional, on police and the police, the Laura Flanders Show also did a piece on NCST, you know.
Right, your organization. Tell
yes,
everybody
sir.
The name of it again. The
it's
Newark
Community Street Team.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the city's community-based public safety initiative. You know, we work through that public health lens, and we're a complement to law enforcement because we utilize a relationship-based strategy. our folks, our high-risk intervention team, they know all of the folks in the neighborhood. And so when they're trained as conflict resolution and mediation specialists with trauma-informed approaches and how to de-escalate strategies, 62% of the murders that happened in the city in 2015 were all domestic disputes. They started as domestic disputes.
Right.
So when we can come in and stand in the gap and mediate those things to a peaceful outcome, then we actually reduce the homicide rate and the trauma rate in the city. And so this is what we have to do and create as we reimagine public safety and reform police. It's not just about procedural justice and training for cops. It's about building infrastructure, you know, in terms of alternative community-based policing strategies.
Let me ask you this, Akilah, and if you can put on another hat and go back to the day of the gang truce.
Yes, sir.
Right? And I'm going to put on the hat and look at the 71 gang truce they had in New York. Right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
In both gang truces, and I've talked to OGs that were part of that one, and I talked to people like yourself that were part of the one in LA.
Yep.
When you started to have movement where the community was policing itself,
yep,
and there was no longer a need for Officer Joe to yep work overtime, there was no longer a need for
where
Officer Joe to have tanks.
Yes, sir.
What are they saying in Chicago, mm-hmm, right? When you talk to people on the ground in Chicago, they're saying, it ain't Ray Ray doing all these killings, right?
Yes, ma'am.
71, 92, Chicago, they all point to the police doing very nefarious acts, right? You hear it over and over. So I'm bringing it up. I'm not saying anything that, you know, I've talked to enough of you guys to, you all say the same thing. You're moving people's money, right? Yeah. You're talking about folks that are making $100,000, some people making $200,000 a year in overtime.
Yes, sir.
We're going to break some windows. We're going to shoot somebody if we need to. We're going to disrupt this community because crime pays.
Yes,
how
sir
do you deal with the very nefarious acts that police have been doing from 71 up to now to make sure that they never have peace because peace doesn't pay them?
That's right. Well, here's how we do it now. See, now we got technology. See, back then, we didn't have technology as a key component. You know, people got these phones. We now have the Citizen app, you know, which is a public safety, tool that we use that people get pulled over. You can see an incident that happened and boom, you can go live immediately. You know what I'm saying? And so now when we record these cops doing the nefarious things that they're doing, we can actually take it and get them fired.
Well, that's one. I'm talking about when people were dressing the part and then doing murders, not with a uniform on, but with one off, and then pitting people against one another. I should have just said COINTELPRO, pitting people. How do you deal with that sort of thing happening? How do you hold that accountable? How do you even prove it in the age of technology that some of the things that you all are trying are not being undermined by institutions that don't want to see you succeed?
That's right. You're absolutely right. You know, there is a counter movement that's happening. COINTELPRO has never been dismantled. It still exists. I mean, I know of a couple of brothers in LA during the peace treaty movement who was murdered. I sat in the projects one day and the police came in and did a drive-by in our neighborhood, you know, and right, we watched them do it, right? We end up having to, Big George Hewley, who was Jim's best friend at the time, was a deputy chief in LAPD. Willie Williams had just became chief of police. We had to have an audience with some of those folks, right, in order to have a conversation because people thought, or they knew that the Crips and Bloods wasn't coming together to fight the police. I mean, what do we want from you? We were coming together in order to save our own neighborhoods, right?
Right.
So what we got to do is this, is that, you know, we have to have a multi-tiered simultaneous strategy, you know, like celebrities, politicians, these individuals have to also be looking at the counter movement that exists out there, right? While we organizing on the ground, you know, developing the alternative strategies, our funding community is helping us by investing in our work to bring more attention to it, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, I think that that's where protest plays a huge role, right? Because for years, you know, we've been talking about, I mean, straight up, every major rebellion in this country was pretty much over excessive force and police brutality, right? 65, you know, Watts Rebellion, 67, Newark, Chicago, Detroit, all of these places, right?
Right.
We had Kerner commissions, Christopher commissions. We got all kinds of reports and stuff that were written that specifically say that. This is why money in politics becomes so important, because they're going to represent the perspective and the issues of the people who put them there in terms of the finance, right?
Right.
And so again, it comes back to it comes back to that piece that we got to get some skin in the game so that we can put people in office that really represent us, and not just in terms of what color they are, you know, but we gotta own them in terms of in terms of the investment that we make in them, so that when they start saying, hey, oh, that COINTEL thing don't exist, you know, we show up and we say, no, you press it anyway, and if you don't press it, we're going to move you out of there, and we're going to put somebody in there that's going to press it for us, because that's what they do. I mean, look at the Trump campaign. Man, these people are saying ridiculous things. You know, I mean, we got an attorney general in this country that has become the personal lawyer of the president. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Right.
But this is because there's billions of dollars that's supporting these individuals. And they can say all of this crazy stuff because they're going to buy all of the big media stations, they're going to buy all of the radio, and they're going to repeat it 1,000 times to people believe it. And we got to do the same. We got to get in the game.
You know, I'm gonna leave this here right now, Akilah Sherrill, and you know, I think people can marinate on that. There seems to be that we can also use our creativity to harness people power, so we don't have to take our hard-earned money and give it to the iHeart/Clear channels of the world and the Foxes and ABCs to get a message across. And what we're finding is that even when people do have that money, right, they're not taking it. You know, Paris was just on here last week, said, hey, man, I got this album. They won't take my ad money. We just had a dude that was trying to put up counter billboards in Detroit. They was like, we don't want your money. It's good money, but we ain't, because they know that they don't want the message to
That's
be
right.
counted. So we're going to have to really think about these alternatives. But I think it ultimately comes down to, you know, in my mind, is being aware of how much the police make and making sure that they get taxed, you
That's
know,
right.
And how that looks can come in many ways. You know, it may be doing something different than the protest. It may be, you know, making sure that they got to pay for the protests. Or maybe you just don't get overtime. Maybe we need to put a law in. You don't, it ain't no overtime, because the reason why we're protesting is because of your actions in the first place. So
yeah.
when they're looking for a bonus, let's go beat Davey or Akila in front of everybody with a bully club, or maybe even shoot them, and then we can all have Christmas bonus money because everybody's going to come out and act up. And that's the type of nefarious thinking that I you know, I know goes on in some of these places. So I think we have to think about that. How can people follow the work that you all are doing in Newark, Keila?
They can follow us on our Facebook page at the Newark Community Street Team. Or you can check us out, you know, you can go to our website, www.newarkcommunitystreetteam.org. And, you know, also we have, you know, social media handles on Instagram and Twitter.
Right. Well, there you have it. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan, Cam. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Needham, Davey D.
Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah.
Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy, though.
Yeah.
Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Yeah. Come on. Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they're ready from the steel grade boots. They bleed. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Second piece to their lovers, I name with a please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. You go.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I are rocking with the best in the West.
East Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast. Dance out.
her name, Breonna Taylor, has become a call to be chanted and shouted at protests, now joined by that of many other black people who were killed by the state with perfect impunity. A Kentucky grand jury has just returned with no charges against the cops who burst into her apartment, fired over a dozen shots, at least six of which struck her as she laid in her bed, all ostensibly as part of a drug raid. Note that no drugs were found. Indeed, only one cop, one who was earlier fired, faced charges for shooting up a neighbor's home. Philosophers sometimes run thought experiments to see all sides of a controversy. Imagine, if you will, that a 26-year-old white woman named Breonna Brzezinski, said, who worked as an EMT, was shot in her bed by a half dozen cops in a mistaken drug raid. What do you think would happen to those cops? Black Breonna's case reminded me of a 21-year-old Black Panther leader who was shot and killed in his bed after being drugged, I might add, on the early morning of December 4, 1969 in Chicago. His name? Fred Hampton. 1969. 2020. Over 50 years later. And black lives still don't matter. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Hard Knocks Radio 94.1 KPFA. Oh yeah. Rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
My last name is Susana. Yeah.
The police ain't under no attack. They're the ones attacking. They're police officers who know these individuals are wicked. I heard Sherilyn Eiffel mention that the police officer who was charged with wanton recklessness came from the Lexington Police Department. He was kicked out of the police department because he was a cop that the supervisor says should not be a police officer. So he gets hired in the neighboring police department. You mean to tell me that the police officers in the Louisville Police Department did not know that they had a cop on their force who was wantonly reckless? No, you guys know, but you won't say nothing. You want black people to be quiet while a black police officer takes a check from a system that does not want to be accountable for the death of black people. Shame on you. You ought to have the courage to go find you another career. You ought to have the courage to say, I will not be a part of a system that kills black people and won't hold its own self accountable. You know, black police officer, what's happening in that department. You know it. You know it. You know who the racists are. You know who the homophobes are. You know who the anti-Muslims are. You know who the anti-immigrants are in that police department. You see the tattoos on their body. You see the remarks they make when nobody's looking. You hear about the text messages. You know about the emails. You know about who they hang out on the weekends, but you won't open your mouth to say a word. And then you want to lecture us about being calm while you are every day hanging around people who will lie to protect themselves after they shoot somebody, after they sexually assault somebody, after they lie on police reports, after they racially profile people. You are willing to protect them, and you want me to be calm. No, the devil is a lie. I will not be calm. You ought not be calm. You ought to find you some courage, and you ought to stand up and say that just like others, black people before me put their life and limb at risk to make sure that we have a certain level of freedom and justice, it is your turn. It is your turn, black man preacher. It is your turn, black man police officer. It is your turn, black man attorney, to stop explaining away the death of black people. And if you can't do it, then you ought to step aside and stop telling us how we should react. Because the jig is up, I'm telling you. You think that McBride, I am a Pentecostal Holy Ghost tongue-talking preacher, and I'm pissed off. And you think that if I'm pissed off, what you think these young men, what you think is in their heart right now? What you think is in their heart right now? It's a setup. And you black people better wake up, and you better stand up for these black children out here who we are throwing to lambs to the slaughter. It is no middle class solution to this problem. It will take all of us getting together and saying that we will not allow this to happen on our watch. And if you don't have the courage to speak up, then I pray that the Lord removes you out of the way. I do. Because if I see a Negro preacher standing up with some police officers between now and this election talking about how the police is under attack, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. You ain't nothing but a bootlicker. You ain't nothing but a traitor to your own people. You hate yourself. You are full of self-hatred. If you can explain away a woman being killed in her own home, you can explain away an attorney general lying on the day that he is excusing these people's murder, and then you're going to let some white police officers and police chiefs call you up, and you're going to show up and be in a meeting with them and talk about gun violence between Pookie and Ray Ray? That don't got nothing to do with what's happening. We've been experiencing police violence for 300 years. We didn't have no gun violence problem in the 1700s. We didn't have no gun violence problem in the 1800s. We didn't have no gun violence problem in the 1910s, the 1920s, the 1930s, the 1940s, the 1950s, the 1960s. There was no gun violence problem, but there's always been a police problem. Why? Because police know that they can kill black people and nobody will stop them. Nobody will stop them. You won't stop them, and I won't stop them. But I'm praying to God today that somebody will get some courage, and we will do what it takes to stop these folk. These people feel like they can come up in our community and shoot us and lie about it, and all we gonna do is walk around a damn circle in the street, and that's the extent of our rage. That ain't the extent of my rage. That's not the extent of my rage, and y'all better pray. Y'all better pray, because I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at people on this CNN telling us to be calm. Violence ain't the answer. Violence is the answer for these cops. They shooting us. They murdering us. They are abusing us. And you got people protecting them. So you tell me what is the solution, police officer. You the one with all the information. You the one with the guns. You the one with the power. Tell me what the solution is. But don't tell me the solution is for us to keep swallowing our tongue and begging and pleading with you to do what you do to white folk. You don't shoot white people up in their house like that. So that tells me that you know how to use self-restraint, except when it comes to black people. It tells me that you don't feel any obligation to slow your process down if it means saving the life of a black person. And I'm telling you right now that that is unacceptable. That is not the will of God. That is demonic. That is deadly. That is wicked. That is devilish. And all of you who want to co-sign on this thing, I'm telling you, you are being deceived by the devil. You have been deceived. You have been captured by a lie. And it is a lie of white supremacy, a lie of law and order. You are being used. You are being hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. Find every synonym you can. Grow up, people. This is literally, we have war being declared on us. We have war being declared on us. And they're excusing it away all across the country. This attorney general said today that you can't look at all of these cases the same. How can I not look at all the cases the same when the outcome is the same? Every single time you shoot us, you abuse us, and the cops don't even get held accountable. I saw my comrade Samson Ginway. He put out that less than 1% of police killings are hold the police officers accountable. 1%? 1%. You mean to tell me that 99% of every single police killing in this country does not require the accountability? You mean to tell me that police are 99% correct in every single thing they do? No, they are not. They are not. They are using the law and the information to explain away the death of black people. They're using it to explain away the death of black people. And I'm telling you, they're only able to do it because we believe whatever they say. We believe it. The only people who have not believed what the cops say, the only people I met since in my 10 years who don't believe what the cops say, were the young people in Ferguson. They were the first folks that I saw who were saying, we do not believe what they say. Now, I was here in Oakland with the Oscar Grant stuff, but I was not out in the street. So I know that Uncle Bobby and Kat and all the loved ones that was here doing Oscar Grant stuff, y'all was ahead of the curve. But I'm telling you, the young people in Ferguson, they the ones that converted me. And I was somebody who thought I was a real good radical Negro. I thought I was an activist. I thought I was an organizer. I thought I was on the right side. But I had to have my own transformation. And I'm telling you people, you have to be transformed in your mind. You have to be transformed in your mind. You have to be transformed in your mind. You do not owe the police your loyalty. You do not owe police departments your loyalty. You do not have to accept what they say. The world is on fire. You talking to me about anarchy? The police department is anarchy. Nobody holds them accountable. They are reckless. They are dishonest. They lie. They say things that don't feel like they have to be held accountable. They do things that feel like they don't have to be held accountable. And they want you to remain silent about it. They want you to remain silent about it, black preacher. They want you to come and give them moral cover. They want you to believe the worst about your own people. They want you to join them in sitting around a table so you can be in a photo op with them and be pitted against the very people who you will benefit from if they are successful in dismantling this wicked system of policing in this country. You black man preach, I'm telling you, you talk all tough in the pulpit. You wear these nice suits. You surround yourself with a whole bunch of men. You act like you a gangster, but you have no heart. You have no courage. You have no fortitude if you cannot stand up in this moment and tell the police department of your city, you have to stop killing black people. You have to stop racially profiling black people. I don't want to hear about Pookie. I don't want to hear about Ray Ray. If they are concerned about Pookie and Ray Ray, tell them to give you the money from their police department and we can deal with Pookie and Ray Ray. But the idea that these cops are going to stop violence in our communities, black man, black preacher, you are deceived, and you're willfully deceived. You can't talk to me about the devil deceiving other people, and you yourself are deceived. We have hundreds of years of evidence that this system preys on black bodies. So what more evidence do you need? Who taught you to hate your people? Who taught you to fall out of love with your children? I hear people right now blaming Breonna Taylor because she had a boyfriend who was an ex quote unquote drug dealer. Really? That's the best you can come up with, black man preacher? All you young church boys who ain't never been nowhere, you ain't never been outside, you sit on the pews and you got a silver spoon in your mouth and you dare to pass judgment on the life of a black woman and a black man who's been fighting these systems their whole life? That's the best you got. That's the best you can come up with, huh? That's the best you can come up with. She shouldn't have been dating a drug dealer. Negro, have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? That's the best you can come up with. It's Breonna Taylor's fault. Man, you must hate yourself. And you must hate your people. You are being used by the very people that will show up in your house and shoot you dead in your bed and tell you and tell everybody who didn't know you that you was a criminal. You wouldn't know it because you spend all your time in the church house. You spend all your time at your middle class job. Here in the city of Oakland, according to my brother Ben and Jennifer Eberhardt and the police officers' own data, 94% of police contacts in the city of Oakland were with 6% of the population. Think about that. 94% of all police contacts in the city of Oakland were with 6% of the Oakland community. Guess who the 6% of the Oakland community is? Disproportionately black, disproportionately brown. So no wonder you don't know nothing about how the police treat you, because you ain't being even approached by the police. You ain't being approached by the police, so you speaking about what people should do. You don't know what you would do. When the police grabbed my balls and my threw me on the ground, I was paralyzed. I was terrified for my life. And I still to this day carry the mark and the trauma. I didn't deserve that. Do you know how many black men and black women have their genitals and their body parts grabbed by police officers and nothing is done to curtail that behavior? No, you don't know that. Because you in the church, you in the office. But I'm going to tell you, when it happens to you, you will know it. You will know it when it happens to your child and to your daughter and to your son and you see the tears in their eyes. You will know it. And then you're going to be calling on Black Lives Matter. You're going to be calling on Al Sharpton. You're going to be calling on God, heaven and earth to come and advocate for you. And right now, you won't even advocate for the people that's happening to you right now in your own church. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to the black male preachers right now. I don't know why, but I'm telling you, Negro preachers, y'all better grow up. I'm about to say something else. You better get some courage. Don't talk to me about how you are fearless. Don't talk to me about how you got the Holy Ghost, how you ain't afraid of the devil. You ain't afraid. And then you can't sit in a meeting and tell the police chief and the captain. When was the last time you asked your police chief and your police department to investigate if any white supremacists are in your department, in their department? Have you asked the police chief that yet? They're going to ask you to come sit at a table and do barbecues and play basketball and talk about Pookie and Ray Ray shooting each other. I dare you to ask them, well, I have been told that white supremacists are infiltrating the police department. Have you, police chief, have you checked the tattoos, the arms of every police officer in your police department to make sure they don't have no white supremacist tattoos on your arm? Have you asked the police chief that? Come on, preacher. You want to be the spokesman for the community. You don't want women and queer folk to speak for you. You feel like Black Lives Matter is some conspiracy by the devil to destroy the black community. So you want to be the man? Be the man. Go in a meeting and ask them, are the white supremacists, have they infiltrated your police department? Ask them that. You won't even do it.
Let us. Ha, hey, hey, hey. Ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio. East, west, north, radio, south, man. Conectados. Every set, every hood. Barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up. Stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs. One love. We know where y'all at. Top Round Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. And to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We tryna make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from the hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard cops. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the hard cops. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, rapping to the hard side.
Thank you. she hit me like, Dada, saw that thing so beautiful,
Dada,
she just hit my heart, oh,
Dada,
full force, and she got me like,
Dada,
I be like,
Dada,
baby,
Dada,
why you so fine?
You're tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a program director to manage our programming department. This full-time position requires proven experience in program directing, radio audio production, management, and